Mum and Dad and Denny saw the passing out parade at Puckapunyal.
On one memorable day, I was ordered to report to the United States 36th Evacuation Hospital. I was ordered to report to the mortuary to retrieve the body of a deceased Australian soldier, one Private Hannaford, and convey it to the large US Forces mortuary at Thompson Ute in Saigon. The mortuary was a large factory-like complex which greeted visitors with impersonal processing in and processing out signs. The compound surrounding it was lined with rows upon rows of aluminium coffins stacked high, ready to deliver deceased GIs back to the States. At that point in the war, the Americans were losing 400 soldiers a week in combat. I delivered Private Hannaford as ordered, and not without a sense of relief. The sights inside the mortuary shocked me. There were rows of porcelain slabs, all occupied and attended by mostly black army morticians going about their business of cleaning up the cadavers and applying the necessary embalming fluids. The faces of the deceased seemed younger than my own, and many bodies were shattered or grossly disfigured by burns. In one instance, a mass of flesh I recognised as human only by a protruding foot. I think it was the sheer volume of cadavers that shocked me most. The morticians were hard and indifferent to their clients. When a dead soldier with a single gunshot wound to the skull was presented to a mortician at the processing in bay, his guardian was greeted with, "We'll make this motherfucker look real pretty." This and similar comments disgusted and infuriated me. I couldn't wait to get out of there. I sat on the steps at the entrance to the facility, awaiting transport to my billet for what seemed like hours. A siren blew in the late afternoon, and I observed the morticians remove their gloves and eat their sandwiches at the sight of their work. Perhaps I was unfair in my judgment of them. I could never have worked in that charnel house for even a single day. That night I got very pissed. The next day I flew back to Vung Tau.
And can you tell me, doctor, why I still can't get to sleep? The night time's just a jungle dark and a barking M16.
I flew home on a chartered Qantas 707 and arrived at Sydney's Mascot Airport in the middle of the night. I was told this was to avoid protesters. I spent the rest of the night in a motel and then had to find my own way back to Adelaide. Psychologically, the war had a strong effect on me, not always bad. Upon my return, I lost complete interest in the war and its progress. For me, then, the war ceased the day I left. I was happy to talk of my experiences to those wishing to hear, but the events of those days seemed to belong on another planet, like years away. Although I'd lost all interest in the war's progress, I was almost immediately disillusioned with life in Australia. I'd seen human affairs conducted at their very best and worst, and yet people back home only seemed concerned with trivialities. I felt that I was much more in touch with what was really important, and yet I would have struggled to define that. Strangely, I felt lost and wanted to go back, even though I couldn't wait to get home when my days there were numbered. Strange. My time in the NAM was largely uneventful compared to most, and my degree of risk was small relative to those who were out patrolling in the bush day after day. Yet life, work and travel seemed so much more exciting there. Maybe these thoughts had something to do with the fact that probably for the first and only time in my life, I did something really meaningful and useful. Maybe it had something to do with my first taste of overseas travel and first exposure to foreign culture. Curiously, I felt indestructible there and increasingly fragile at home. Make sense of that, if you will. These feelings persisted for many years but are now gone. What I am left with now is a sense of a life lived in two halves, pre-Vietnam and post-Vietnam, with what I consider the best and worst year of my life jammed in the middle. Rarely does a day go past when I don't give some thought to that experience.
The stories that my father told me never seemed quite real. I caught some pieces in my back that I didn't even feel. God help me. I was only 19.